Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to Wrestle Culture. I've got Rona. I'm out of culture. Joined by Phil Chambers and hopefully later joined by Adam Nicholas of What Culture to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Duper, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil Chambers. Sorry that I'm not doing this in person. I tested positive at the start of this week. I've been missing. And, it's crap. I hate this.
I will say the office is much quieter without you. It's ridiculous.
I guarantee as well, some people will have been listening to the podcast this week that I've been on. I was away for off for a couple of days and gone, something different about this. What is it? What is it? Oh, there's not a shed load of sound effects being played because he can't push all of his little buttons. And honestly,
it's all gone a little bit 2020 again.
Oh, it's honestly, I was just saying to you there before we started recording, doing obviously work from home for the last few days. And the PTSD of, like you say, summer 2020, where it was just this. I mean, at least when I subsequently test negative a few times, I can go out and we can have a beer or whatever, Phil.
But, yeah,
don't like this at all. Don't just like this whatsoever.
Never again.
But anyway, it's been a very eventful week in the world of wrestling. We should probably start with last weekend, Phil. You and Hamflet did the stream for Elimination Chamber. And as a result, we're getting a winner-take-all title versus title thing at WrestleMania. What do you make of that? And what did you make of the premium live event?
I thought the premium live event was less than premium. They've somehow gone back to making the Saudi house show as a glorified house show somehow. And it's like, but it's not even like the grandeur of the ridiculous Saudi show. It's like loads of people that they bring back. We only had Goldberg and that match was utter S-H-I-T. Yeah. Are we allowed to spell swear words on podcasts? Is that a thing?
I'll allow it. Like, considering what like Michael Hamlin did in the days where I was away, I think we'll be absolutely fine.
That is true. I will say that like the premium live event wasn't great, but I did kind of enjoy Brock Lesnar in the Elimination Chamber match. I'm not gonna lie, him coming out of the pod, just making his own mind up when he's gonna come out. Like, Bobby Lashley's not there, I'm just coming out now. F5 gone, and then F5 off the bloody top of the pod, gone. Huge fan of that. That was very entertaining. I was very entertained by it. Him squashing most of the WWE roster, probably not the best long-term thing.
Yeah, I did think, as I was watching it, I mentioned this earlier today, when they announced, oh, Bobby Lashley's got, I didn't know obviously at the time about his injury, IRL, and we wish him well in the recovery for that.
Yeah.
I did sort of go, right, how are you going to make this interesting then? Because it's clearly Brock winning. And yeah, him going, bollocks to the big lights above the pods, I'm coming out now. And then it was like, oh, him and Austin Theory is the final two. Like, it's definitely Lesnar winning then. And I was like, what are they going to do to make this interesting? Oh, try and kill Austin Theory. Right, got you. Nice.
At least Austin Theory got the low blow in. He got one shot at Brock Lesnar. That's it. You can feed off that for a while.
Exactly.
But yeah, then he died.
And now we are getting title for title, champion versus champion at WrestleMania, a true WrestleMania main event. We're going to say we are now joined by a Wrestle Culture main event. Adam Nicholas, welcome back to the podcast, mate.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. Hello, gentlemen.
It's been a long time, my friend. It's been a really long time.
It's been a long time. Listen, I know what the rule was. It was break the glass in case of emergency. I've heard that the ratings have been down. I've heard all about it. So here I am to make them go lower as well.
We are listening to you. You are the authority now. We have brought Adam Nicholas back by popular demand. And mate, what do you think of winner taking all at WrestleMania all over again?
You know what it is? It's stupid. Right, but it's always a good time, isn't it? I don't know what it is. What is it about the winner taking all that always seems to be entertaining? Like, we were there for the Becky Lynch one, and that was, yes, it was long. I mean, imagine if that pay per view had been 2 days. God, that would have been so much better. But it's still quite a nice big feel, right? Isn't it? I think it adds a bit of grandeur to it. It's daft, it's stupid, but is it as daft as someone who's already won the unifying match carrying two belts? I don't think it is.
Don't get me started. That is something that I get wound up about on almost every AW podcast we do. Like, and the thing is, Nicholas, it started from a place of love and adoration. Because when they said, admittedly, Cody at the time was going to be away for 2 weeks, medical protocol. Mm. I was like, oh, it's kind of stupid because he's not off for months on end. He's only missing a few weeks. But I was like, I really like this because I'm a fan of UFC as well, and they have interim belts there and blah, blah, blah. And then they had the unifying match and he's wearing both belts. And he kept wearing both belts. And then Andrade stole both belts. And I was like, what's going on? What's happening here? It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense because nothing got unified.
No.
The idea is they become the one again. That's how it's supposed to work. And this has not happened.
No.
And I don't think it's going to. I can see the appeal. I just don't. You've got it. Come on. It's a logic company, that company. I would allow it in WWE because it's stupidity, but not in AEW.
I'm trying to picture the belt in my head and I can't see it, but do AEW have nameplates on their belts?
I don't think so.
Because I was just wondering if he's still carrying around two belts, one that says Cody and one that says Sammy, or whether he changed the nameplate on one of them so they both say Sammy.
Well, that Cody one will be worth a lot more now.
What really wound me up was when people saying, oh, Sammy two belts on social media. I was like, no, Becky two belts. You know, Connor had two belts when he was in the UFC because he won two different weight classes. When he won the interim championship and then won he's not two belts, it's one belt. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. My favourite thing is what about this.
Since we're talking about championships and things, sorry to butt in, but I've just realised that we're talking about titles, we're talking about championships, we're talking about the award-winning Wrestle Culture podcast.
Yes.
And this is truly going back to the fully award-winning lineup.
Yes, because we still have
that trophy on my desk.
Yeah, the best lineup of Wrestle Culture. It was very entertaining when Adam Cleary was there to accept the award.
Look, right, I'm not saying that we win awards, Phil, when we're together all the time. I'm not saying that, but there is an award and it does have our names on. And it's been a long time since I was here, so you're probably due another one now.
Yeah. My favourite thing as well about the winner-take-all thing is I guarantee we could have an exclusive chat with all the people in power within WWE. And if I said to them, what happens after WrestleMania? They'd go, huh? What have you got planned for after WrestleMania? You got the two titles and the one person wins and takes them both. Yeah. It's going to be Roman, probably. Cool. And then what after that? What do you mean? Well,
what was the question again? Sorry, what was the question?
Dude, just have no plan. I guarantee it. But we have to talk very quickly, Nicholas, about Cesaro, because this news broke last night Phil and I apparently had the same thought.
I did see that.
The same thing.
Very close. It was ridiculous. Phil
and I both went, this guy's mint, push him to the moon, basically. Yeah. And it said, went, oh, like the Spider-Man meme, but with tweets, basically.
Yeah. I read that and assumed that you were either together or you had done that on purpose. I just...
But it's surprising for a multitude of reasons. Didn't he just re-sign a new contract, Nicholas, last year?
Oh, I mean, you're asking the wrong person. Yeah, I don't watch WWE anymore. So
yeah.
Let's see, he did. Why not?
Yeah.
From what I know, from a very reliable source, which is What Culture News, which you can find on YouTube, What Culture WWE, Phil Chambers and Andy Murray told me today, while I was editing the news, that... Everyone was aware that his contract was coming up in February, and here we are. It's in February, and he decided he's not going to resign.
Maybe he signed, but I think the thing was he signed a new contract, obviously presumably February last year. Hence why he got all the great stuff with the WrestleMania match with Rollins and the title match with Reigns. Arguably, that might have been there to convince him to stay. But I think when people hear that. And I hear sign a new contract, I think at least 2 years, basically. But I think it's surprising and not that surprising whatsoever, is it, Nicholas?
I don't think so. I think, I tell you what it does say to me, if that is the case, if he did just sign a new contract, then Cesaro is a shrewd businessman because he knows this company and they are wanting to re-sign him. He's obviously, if he has, chosen a year. They gave him this lovely little push. We knew it wasn't going to last. He probably knew it wasn't going to last. Mm. And he's been proven right. So at least he got out of that from that February last year. He got that great match and little fake feud with Seth Rollins, which really did remind everybody just how great Cesaro could be. Then he got the Roman Reigns stuff off the back of that. He got a little bit of Bryan stuff in there before Bryan left too. He's probably done what's best for business, boys. Mm. Eh?
And Phil... very interesting because obviously AW said they're not signing anyone new. So,
but since we've said that, they've also signed Buddy Matthews, and God knows how many other people.
Strickland, other people. Gresham was backstage, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy was the other one, and now Cesaro, I assume, because why wouldn't you? Like that man would be gold on anybody's roster, and like you don't even have to push him as a main event level superstar or anything if you're gonna. Have him just on your roster to like wrestle the younger guys and lift them up to his position, teach the next generation. Like he's one of the best wrestlers, like pure in-ring wrestlers in the world. He's got a wealth of knowledge that he can pass on to absolutely everybody on the roster. And then along the way, we'll probably end up with a bunch of dream matches too. So it's like, it's win-win just having him on your roster. It's mad that they've just allowed him to go without throwing money at him. Because surely, like, especially with like NXT 2.0, if you put Cesaro in NXT 2.0 for a year or something, like you're going to elevate those stars so much more than just having them wrestle each other.
Yeah, but then again...
Are you little Phil?
Well, not elevate them in terms of stardom, but elevate them in terms of teaching them how to wrestle.
Yes, no, I would agree. Because he's the kind of guy who would get hands-on at the PC, wouldn't he, and just actually help them become better wrestlers. I still don't think even he could save them, but, you know, there
you go. Did we all see Nikita Lyons' pin on NXT 2.0 this week?
When I said I don't watch WWE, I wasn't joking, man. The only thing I've watched in about nearly 8 months, maybe, is probably the Royal Rumble. And then I immediately went, yeah, now I remember why I don't do this.
More importantly, and I assume you might have seen this because it was actually in a group chat on Slack in the office today. Have you seen the new promo for the new NXT UK wrestler?
It was you who posted it.
I have no idea what it is, but it's spooky stuff. And it's a trucker who finds some like sheep's wool. And then there's a shadowy figure in the background. It's like, ooh, a dark figure is coming to NXT UK.
I feel like they're cashing in on the Hank the Tank stuff here because that definitely looked like that massive big bear. I don't know if you saw the big bear. It was absolutely gigantic and there's been like problems with him over in America. He just keeps breaking into people's houses, but he's this
hungry bear.
500-pound bear that he just can't stop. They literally can't stop him. Hank the Tank he's called, and it looks exactly like the way it shuffled by in the shadows. Just Hank the Tank leaving the scene of the crime.
Nicholas, I'm going to send you this Nikita Lyons pinfall from NXT. I'd love to get your live reaction to it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I can see why you enjoyed that.
I volunteer for death by snoo snoo. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yep. I can see why you're talking about that. That seems like it's right up your street.
Well, a lot of attention for NXT that did. I wonder why.
I'm instantly reminded.
It's right in with that age group, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm instantly reminded of WWE. Do you remember when they did that really weirdly gross shot on Lacey Evans when she was like outside the ring on a main event? Well, yeah. I can't remember what pay per view it was, and the cameraman literally
zoomed
into her arms. Yeah, good gimmick, I guess.
Yeah, intrigued to see what happens with Cesaro next, because, like you say, I think it's one of those where WWE probably should have tried to keep him, but then they weren't going to do anything with him. They've done what they did. You know, come on, guys, he did the UFO at WrestleMania. What more do you want? A world title reign. Well, that's not going to happen. So he's probably going to go to AEW. What would
if
you
think? If he goes to AEW, like, seriously, it's such an easy way of bringing him in right now with Danielson doing his thing about, like, proving to the younger wrestlers that they need to step up and things, and he's trying to work with Moxley to do it, but then they've got this match coming up, and then Moxley might not want to team up with Bryan Danielson, but guess who might want to team up with Bryan Danielson? Another incredible in-ring guy called Cesaro, and then eventually they can break up and then they can fight, and it just everything along the way would be absolutely incredible.
Imagine if he does get Moxley, though, and then he goes and recruits, you know, Daniel Garcia. And you just see footage of Daniel Garcia going into the Danielson dojo. And there's not only Moxley and Danielson, there's now Cesaro. And bollocks to it, why not have Timothy Thatcher in there as well? That's just, yeah, we're just going to stretch you, boys. Don't worry. Welcome to the real quiz. It's going to be unbelievable. But yeah, what do you think, Nicholas, about even more AEW signings, basically? Me and Phil talked about this on the news just the other week, as we mentioned, where they said, right, that's it, no more. And then you kind of have, like, Cesaro, obviously, you kind of have to sign Buddy Murphy, now Buddy Matthews, whose debut was completely overshadowed by Alex Abrahantes and whatever he was dressed as.
He's a vampire now.
Shane Strickland, formerly Isaiah Swerve Scott, who just is mint. I don't know why anyone would release him. As I talked about, Jonathan Gresham was apparently backstage on Dynamite. Jeff Hardy's told WWE to F off, and he's basically already said he's All Elite. What do you make about more of these AEW signings?
Well, first off, Penta's little mate. The funnier thing is, as I was watching this from a very legitimate source, obviously, the bit, like the entrance bit, was actually missing, or I had missed out on that. So all I got was him on the outside, dressed like the Count. And I'm like, hang on, what? It's February. I mean, I've heard of Halloween in January, but not Halloween in February, man. That was ridiculous. So
I tell you if they, like Big E had the 5 count in NXT, if they do the 1, 2, 3, and he's going to put him down for the entire length, that would be genius.
Yeah, there on the side. Yeah. See, that I'm into, but it was very jarring to come out of that. Yeah, as for signings, though, I mean, come on. Like, anybody who's getting upset about this is, you need to go outside. Just go outside and do something else. Because think about it. You can, understandably, they probably need to shut up shop and start, like, trying to mold the stuff they have got. I get that. Mm-hmm. But if someone really good comes along, you can't just be like, sorry, we're not taking people on. They're just going to let Cesaro, just let him go somewhere else. Like, he's world-class talent. You're trying to build a world-class wrestling company. Sign the world-class talent. I guess that's it. I don't know. I do understand the argument, because clearly the money thing seems to have played a bit of a part in the Cody saga somewhere on the line. And I guess the more big names they're bringing in, the more that gets stretched. So maybe there's something along that lines. But, you know, someone like a Cesaro, unless they really are somehow on the verge of bankruptcy, like, which I highly doubt, is a no-brainer. Because of the sheer amount of stories that are already there for so many wrestlers they have on the roster, and ones that he could have with the new wrestlers who are fresh and young, as Phil's already pointed out.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, isn't it, where I can see both sides of the argument. Now, me and Dadleys were chatting about something the other day, and I just glancing at their roster, and I was like, oh, yeah, Remember when they signed Tony Nese or Jay Lethal or people like that who've just, you know, been forgotten about? I mean, Keith Lee, there's an argument to be made. Keith Lee came in, had this amazing debut, and then the last 2 weeks you've just had him occasionally talk for 30 seconds or whatever. But he's, you know, he's on the pay-per-view, so there's that. Miro, you're like, how do you not have anything for Miro? I think there are issues, and there is undoubtedly roster bloat, because I even if it wasn't my job, I'd probably still would watch Rampage and Dynamite, but I'm not going to watch Dark or Dark Elevation. No. So you've got 3 hours, and you've got, I mean, just think about the people they've picked up in the last, what, 6 months, like I say. Keith Lee, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Adam Cole. Then you've got all the, you know, AEW originals that you want to keep promoting, your Jungle Boys, Darby Allin, MJF. What a promo from him this week. I don't think without mentioning that again. And then, yeah, they just, you know, signings on top of signings on top of signings. There are problems. There are issues with this signing policy that AEW have. But, yeah, you don't go, no, we're not getting one of the best technical wrestlers in the world because we've already got the X number of people on our roster. It just can't work like that. But it's going to be very interesting.
The best thing that AEW can do at the minute, or at least try and figure out how to do, is like some kind of rotation of their roster.
Yeah.
Like you know, we would have had with like the territory system back in the day or whatever. Someone would go to a place, they'd be there for 6 months or a year, they'd do a run, and then they'd go somewhere else. Like, why couldn't they possibly have the ability to bring a guy in, make him have like a year-long run, and then 6 months off, or 6 months on, 6 months off,
yeah,
and like cycle through people and make sure it's never like overlapping with the same people all the time. And so you can mix it up, you can keep people fresh, people will be excited for when they do come back after a six-month absence. Like we always see whenever someone goes out on an injury, they always come back so much harder than they were before, because absence, funnily enough, makes the heart grow fonder. And because they've got so many people now, they could very easily do this within their system. Or, well, it's probably not that easy to write, but they could easily have enough people to do it and do it well. And you'd constantly cycle in the top guys, you'd give lower down people a bit of a chance when some of the other people are out, and it's like just freshens it up a little bit and gives everyone a little bit of a shot at the top.
No offense, but I did do a double take today, and I think he's great, I think he's got a lot to offer, but I was like, I read half the headline and went yeah, released obviously, and then it's like Brian Cage signs another deal with AEW. I was like, what? Didn't see that one coming, I've got to be honest.
No, his last match is in October, like the 8th, I think, and he lost to Ricky Starks, and he's not wrestled. Well, he wrestled on the Jericho Cruise, but that you can't exactly count that because it wasn't televised or anything.
Right.
And that's all he's done since October. Like, he's one of the guys that everyone's had, like, when these first 3-year contracts are up, like, he's going to be going because,
yeah.
A, he's, like, vocally not happy about his position and how he's being used, and B, they obviously don't really have anything to do with him because they haven't done anything with him in a very long time. And now here's Tony Khan picking him up for another year. Like, unless there's some kind of promise in that where they actually have a plan and they're going to use him, I don't understand this signing at all.
No. We did a podcast earlier this week. You can go and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts from, with myself and the Dadley Boys talking about what Tony Khan's big announcement could be within AEW. Nicholas, if you had to take a guess, what would you go for? Is it a streaming service? Is it a super show with New Japan? Is it, whisper it, AEW coming to the UK?
Oh, don't tempt me. Like, don't tempt me and tease me. I mean, obviously, I would love most of those things, which I'm sure somewhere down the line you probably will get all of them. It's obviously now Cesaro, isn't it? I guess that's got to... that's the big... Somehow he predicted before the big announcement. He was like... that Cesaro was like, fingers crossed this will be off. Maybe he'll not sign this card. No, honestly, at this point, I wouldn't even want to guess, purely because I was so impressed with the way they handled what I genuinely and probably quite cynically thought, you know, when it was clearly probably going to be Keith Lee who was debuting, and they managed to put in the sprinkled surprise of Jay White, which really genuinely, and the way they put that together, obviously Jay White being there, and then immediately afterwards you had the tournament, which still in my mind made me wonder, is that a surprise, or is this it just added a couple of seconds of doubt, which is hard to cut. It sounds daft, but that's hard to come by in wrestling these days, and I will be the first person to criticise Tony Khan for being a bit over eager with things, but absolutely got it right. So I wouldn't even want to guess to put the pressure on him, Adam. I'd be happy to let him do his thing. Then he can get it wrong and I can go back to criticising again. That one good day.
It's Shane McMahon, isn't it, Phil?
Here comes the money!
The rumors are that it's some kind of business deal, and maybe Shane and Matt coming in as a money man, maybe, because they definitely need that around AEW. But yeah, I don't know. Like, the rumors are that it's some kind of a business deal rather than just an actual signing. And the rumors are also that it's really big. Like, hasn't he been trying to hype it up as like as big as the first dance or something? But yes, in terms of a business deal, and like, I'm not sure where you can go for that. Like, a streaming platform would make sense. Like, mm-hmm. I think Andy was saying in the office earlier that like possibly like some rumors out there of like buying up ROH for their tape library or something, yeah, to put it on some kind of like AEW streaming platform. And like having both of those together on one streaming platform would definitely bolster what AEW have to offer. But like, yeah, I don't know. The thing with event with New Japan seems like a thing that's been coming for a really long time.
Yeah.
But is that gonna have the kind of seismic shifts that he is mentioning, or is he just overhyping it again because that's what Tony Khan does?
Do you know what I'd like him to do? Is none of what we've... Well, I'd like him to do a lot of what we just mentioned. It's
closing down the company. Surprise, everyone. Tony Khan is going to WWE.
I think he should announce he's going to have a wrestling promotion, a football team, and a cage fighting promotion. And to bring it in, Chris Cyborg, who's been doing stuff, obviously with, I think, Thunder Rosa, that's something with her in the gym.
Yes, yeah, I saw that.
Chris Cyborg, women's champion. Shane McMahon, men's champion.
Yeah, that checks out for me. The bare knuckle king himself. Best in the world at punching people.
Hey, those punches in the Royal Rumble, with those he can take anyone out.
Oh, man. One of my highlights of the Royal Rumble was Shane McMahon's... Basically everything Shane did, because Jesus, yeah, Christ, man. Grow up. Just grow up. But Matt Riddle trying not to laugh while Shane McMahon tries to out-punch the former MMA fighter. He's like hitting him. And you can see Riddle is like... He's like trying not to laugh. As he like ducks up and then starts to chuck a few back. Oh, just a disaster. A disaster of a man, isn't he? A disaster.
Yeah.
I will always say, you and I talk about this regularly, Wilborn, I always will give Shane McMahon, he probably saved my first ever WrestleMania. Ooh. I say that in the lightest of terms, but it was a big surprise when he came back. It was exciting and it made the card feel a bit interesting when all those people were injured in Dallas. But Jesus Christ. Oh, how the mighty fell very, very quickly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Before we get to this week's hashtag bloody good quiz, Phil, we need to talk about the conspiracy doing the rounds in professional wrestling. You seen this? You heard about this?
I don't know. Have I?
No. Yeah, have we?
Well, I have a very simple question to ask.
Is it about The Fiend or something?
It's not about The Fiend. It was doing the rounds, I believe, on Thursday following AEW Dynamite, Phil Chambers. My question to you is... has Chris Jericho had ab implants?
I haven't actually seen this. How have I missed this?
Yeah, so basically, he's slimmed down, like, in my opinion, probably because he's...
going to WWE, baby.
Yeah, probably because there's it's negotiation time, and look what happened to Jake Hager around that time. Probably because, you know, he had that health scare. Probably he's given up the booze as a result of that and following the Fozzy tour. And now he's there with his leather jacket, you know, jaw jacking with Eddie Kingston. And he looks great in there, especially compared to how he looked, say, 6 months ago.
I have just Googled it.
So according to the internet, he's had ab implants, or what was it? It was called, I looked at this earlier with Sige on the Rampage preview, like ab sculpting or something it's called.
See,
abdominal etching.
That's it.
Etching. Oh, okay. See, I think what's happened here is that if anybody who pays attention to Chris Jericho, right? Yes, and it shouldn't really be a big issue. It doesn't really matter what his body looks like, but the internet seems to enjoy Chris Jericho having a dad body, which is fine if that's your thing, I guess. But if you ever watch when he goes to work out, like anybody who goes to work out, right? After you've just done the workout, your muscles are in this prime condition, aren't they? So, like, they look great. You're like, ooh, and you start tensing and doing whatever you do. So I genuinely think what's happened here, and I said this to Hamford, I said, I think he was very close to giving himself a hernia at this point, because I think he went in there and was like, the jacket was on, and I think if you watch the way he stood, he has tensed himself so hard. And I'm not saying he hasn't been putting the work in, by the way. It has been noticeable that he has trimmed down a little bit the last couple of weeks. I genuinely think he's been starting the jacket on. You know how he does that Jericho face where it looks like he's just sucked on a lemon? He was like tensed up in that. Go and watch it back. And that's why I feel like a lot of that promo, he's like very wooden, like his body's wooden while he's talking in a low, because he's just making sure the abs are out. He's like, I'm going to show the world these abs. I'm telling you, man, I think he was straining. I think he was very close to either pooping himself or giving himself a hernia.
He's like, he's tensing, Phil, but like, he's like 51 years of age. I don't like the fact that he does, like Nicholas said, put some work in, and then people are like, well, he's obviously had some sort of sculpting, etching, surgery bollocks. Furious.
He's 51. Give him a break. He's allowed a bit of a dad bod at this point, Charlie.
Also, I think a lot of people just hate this idea that someone could just go and change their life so easily. Like, probably. Because they're sitting at home going, well, that's rubbish. I wouldn't be able to do that 3 months. So there's no way that he could do it.
I like the idea. He probably just put in all the frustration of John Moxley ruining GFY on its first week. And he's like, well, this is going to be a nice money spinner. GFY. Ooh, what does it mean? Oh, it's a little bit of a... Oh, he's just said exactly what it means. And
Can we have a quick one here? Because me and Hamza had a discussion about this. The Jericho Kingston promo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of struggle these days with Jericho in general, just because I'm not a fan of Jericho, the person, per se. And I don't know, I'm just not into his stuff anymore. I feel like... And ever since he started wearing them sneakers, man, good Christ. Good Christ, man. did it work for you guys? For me, like Hamford said, it felt like one of the first times he really kind of believed Jericho in a while. And I would argue the part where he starts getting into it properly and he starts talking about Kingston's uncle and his father and that, I really started to think that was where he was finding the gold. Because before that, Hamflet was like, I think he's being self-aware and he's like saying what the people think. And I disagreed, man. I think the stuff Jericho says in that promo to me up to that point, I was like, he believes it, brother. Like, that's it. Don't kid yourself.
I don't doubt that Jericho believes everything he does these days. But this for me, like I've not, like you say, I've not been a huge fan of Jericho in like recent months. And this is the first time I've like actually been engaged in something he's done. Even in like within this Eddie Kingston feud, like this, it seems to have like taken it up another level. But like I think like Eddie Kingston just brings the best out of people with these things, doesn't he? Like I think even like the little needing, like him just going, oh, what's a baby face and things, just little things, just jabbing at Jericho, like, what are you doing, man? Like, get onto my level, kind of thing, in a way, kind of just unlocked something in Jericho, and then it all came together towards the end.
Yeah, he's turned the corner a little bit for me. A few weeks back, I was not a fan. I still don't like the influencer.
See, but I think if you're looking at that and thinking, oh, he's doing that ironically, that might be great. But he's not. He's not doing it ironically. This is, unfortunately, I feel like we've landed, in the spell for me, where Jericho is one of the most creative people this industry's ever had. I will never ever take any of his wrestling stuff away from him. Amazing. But do you remember that was that little period before the list where he came back and things just weren't quite right?
Yeah.
And he was still trying to figure out what the next thing was before he really hit home and started that amazing run. I feel like we're in that bit now. The trainers, for me, man, they're not it. I don't know what he thought they were, but they aren't it. They don't work at all. If anything, just add to this feeling of a man who's chasing what he needs to do. Influencer's not good. GFY was never going to be good, even if John Moxie hadn't said it at the start of the show properly. So, yeah, for me, not quite there.
I think it's fair to say, I think those real moments for Jericho were becoming rarer and rarer. And speaking of rare, we have a word from Omaha Steaks. Sponsors to... Sorry, I just felt like doing my best Jericho impression there, although normally he pretends to, like, someone just told the most funny story ever, and then there's a different room going.
I will.
Oh, you're making such a good point there, Adam Nicholas.
I will say, I've been away that long. I genuinely just thought you were going at the spiel there. So, well done. I'm thinking, how did we land Omaha Steaks?
Well, before we get to the bloody good quiz, I do want a quick word because I saw both of your faces when I said MJF's promo. What did you think of it, Nicholas?
Oh, magical. The thing that I loved about this the most is this, they already had me for this. Like, they've stretched it out already, which I just think is incredible. You know, you get these ones in WWE where you'd be going for months and months and you'd be bored. The perfect example I always use is the video package now is amazing, but the run-up to Becky Lynch's match with Ronda and Charlotte, that was just overkill everywhere because they just had to stretch. It wasn't their fault, but it's the way it was. These two have managed to do that like effortlessly. And I would argue, even before MJF's promo, we were all in for this match. We were all already wanting to see it. We were all already down with it. Everything that happened, Punk having him speechless the other week was enough. Like, I genuinely think that they could have done it and it still wouldn't have needed this. How have they managed to find another angle to this, another wrinkle that makes it even more interesting? And the way Punk came in and saw that at the end of like, is that true? Is that true? And you don't really find out. And the best thing about wrestling is when you think, I want to see what happens next week now. And that's exactly what they've done. And it's just, it's magical. I didn't think it could get any better, and it is now better.
Yeah, 100% agree. Like, it's my favorite thing in wrestling right now. Like bar none. And it's like, it's amazing because they've kind of kept it, in a way, this entire feud, they've kept really simple. Mm. Like, just in the kind of basic story of it. But yet they've managed to create so many layers on top of that and going back through like so many years and finding that photo with MJF and CM Punk, like the amount of layers and the amount of things to put on top of this very simple story just keeps you completely hooked every single week. And like MJF's performance in this, he was absolutely brilliant. Like he was genuinely on the verge of tears at any specific moment throughout that promo. And then like you say, CM Punk coming in at the end, it's like, is this real? And him just walking off, like it leaves so many question marks and like it just by far deepens this MJF character who's just been a bit of a dick forever, but it's like informing his dickishness. It's like the origin story of MJF. And my favorite thing about it is that now, like you say, it leaves you wanting more, but how is he going to turn this around to become even more of a dick next week? Because you know it's going to happen and he's going to use this somehow, but I don't quite know how right now, but he's going to use it to become such a massive dick. And then eventually, like, the internet was asking, like, oh, is MJF going to be turning babyface or anything? Like, I don't see that happening yet anytime soon. But eventually, one day down the line, I have no doubt that this guy could make it work because my word, is he talented.
Yeah, just jaw-dropping, I thought, in its execution. And like you say, just very excited as we head towards Revolution next weekend. We will, of course, be doing a live stream for that. And let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE as well. But anyway, enough of all that. It's now time for a bloody good quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by Going Nuts 96QBB. If you want your name associated with a hashtag bloody good quiz, All you need to do is subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review on there. Going Nuts writes, I've been listening to this podcast for the past few years and it finally prompted me to ask myself, is this the best wrestling podcast ever? From the daily news roundups, keeping me up to date on all things wrestling, to Wilborn and the Dadleys offering detailed insight on each promotion. Hey, What Culture? You all right. The What Culture team offer great wrestling takes and provide comedic relief to give me a laugh throughout my work day. I could listen to What Culture for 9 days. I'm sorry, I haven't got the soundboard that this clearly needs. I could listen to What Culture for 9 days straight. 9 days straight while they're reviewing egg stuff and still be entertained and engaged in the conversation. Keep it up, guys. Thank you. Going Nuts 96 QBB. So, will we see a rusty Adam Nicholas or a return to form on this week's quiz all about Cesaro?
Well, I would also like to say that I don't know how you've been doing on these quizzes, Phil. I have no, I literally have no gauge. It just hurt too much to hear what's been going on and not be here for it. But I did think this was a great way for you to get a win. If you hadn't had one, I could come here and together we could work like we always do for you or me, but mostly for you to achieve success today, I think is a nice one to do.
Shockingly, I've actually been doing all right recently, yeah, and I don't quite know why, because nothing's changed on my part. So all I can imagine is that everyone else has gotten dumber.
Who's been in recently, dare I ask?
I beat Cleary a few weeks. I beat Hamplet. I beat Sidgwick the other day.
It's been all the big
names.
Yes, I did.
So what we're discovering now is I've just been dragging you down all this time. I was holding you back from your potential.
You know what I think it was? Phil used to be on the boat and that had the bad signal. So he'd know the answer, but couldn't shout his name out quickly enough.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is. But anyway, 10 questions, multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come to you. And remember, it's just for fun, guys. Just for fun.
Just for fun.
Okay, question number one. Cesaro first appeared in WWE in 2006 as a police officer alongside which NXT star? Was it Baron Corbin, Dash Wilder, EC3, or Connor?
Phil.
Who?
I hope this is. I think it's EC3. Is it EC3?
It is EC. Hey. I was waiting to press a button there again.
Yay! Who was the last one? Sorry, Connor.
Connor off the Ascension.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah,
I basically thought who's a big hard bastard who you could have thought might have been a police officer. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was EC3. Well remembered, Phil. Okay. Question number two. Which language isn't Cesaro apparently fluent in?
Right.
Spanish, Italian, French, or German?
Nicholas, it's got to be Spanish, hasn't it? Because he's going to be French, German, and Italian. They sound exactly like what he likes his coffee. French is just French, and German's German. They're all pretty close to Switzerland.
It's a very good working out process. It is indeed Spanish. Although I just Googled this and there's people arguing online. Well, he can't actually properly speak Italian. Oh, shut up. That's great.
As long as he knows how to ask for coffee in Italian.
Exactly. I've also forgot about the banging theme he used to have when it used to be like, c'est un miracle, c'est vrai. I was like, oh, yeah, it slaps this stuff.
See, this is all before my time with Cesaro, so I missed all that.
Back when he would say hello in all the different ways.
And that's so crap, WWE are the man.
say hello in five different ways and then neck on with Aksana. And they were like, right, well, that's that guy made then.
Smashed it. It reminds me of Breaking Ground where Otis told them he could do the worm and he's just been doing the worm ever since. It's like there's no real creative process that goes on with some of these guys and gals. It's just like, what can you do? That one. Sound. Done.
I would be 100% if it was me. And they were like, what could you do? They'd make me into, what was his name? Macho Mandow. Or when poor Damien Sandow had to be all of the people every different week. You're going to be Vince this week. You're going to be Davy Crockett, I think, at one point.
Bret Hart. He did Bret.
Yeah.
You'd be Australian. They'd make you into an Australian character, wouldn't it?
You're the third member of the Iconics. Yeah. You release them. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Just tell everybody they're not yet a nice. Just keep it going.
Right, one each. Question three. Which legend did Cesaro challenge on Champions Choice Night on Raw in 2012? Was it William Regal, Sergeant Slaughter, Billy Gunn, or Mick Foley?
Oh, I don't know. See, William Regal sounds like the one you want us to pick. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But then again, it might be the one, Phil, mightn't it? We might be overthinking this. What was it? William Regal, Sergeant Slaughter?
Billy Gunn, Mick Foley.
Okay.
They are very different.
They are, they are. Nicholas, I tell you what, I'm trying to imagine who I would enjoy him knocking that, like, what they've got, if he knocked it off with a forearm smash. Or the uppercut that he does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking of Sergeant Slaughter with his glasses and his hat on, and I'm thinking I'd like to see that. And because Cesaro's Swiss, WWE, like, Sergeant Slaughter is like America and an army guy. So I'm going to say Sergeant Slaughter.
It was Sergeant Slaughter.
Literally didn't know that. No idea.
Okay, question four.
They're so crap, aren't they? They're so crap. Oh.
Question four. Which award did Cesaro receive a record 4 years running in the Wrestling Observer News?
Nicholas, you can give the... It's the most underutilized or something like that. Like the one that hasn't been used the most, like underused in a company, whatever that is. What's the word?
He's been away for a while, Phil, so I'm going to give him this one. It's most underrated.
I mean...
But you've been very generous there.
You have been generous. They are, that's not the same thing.
If it was later on in the quiz, maybe I wouldn't be. But it's 3-1 now to Nicholas.
I will happily forego that point, Phil, if you like. Because that's not really the same thing, that is it?
I didn't get to give you the options because there were three serious ones. Hardest worker.
Give him the options.
Hardest worker, strongest wrestler, most underrated, or best baldy.
I knew you had a bald one in there.
Yes. I had to get it in. I knew Murray wasn't on the quiz. I thought that'd be fine. Okay, question five. Fingers on buzzers for this one. Who did Cesaro last eliminate to win the inaugural Andre the Giant Memorial Battle?
But was that last? Or was that just the big thing that happened in the thing? Crap. Aye, go on. Big Show.
Well, it was indeed the Big Show.
How can he get him over the top rope?
Well, if Big Show pulls the top rope really hard.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not taking anything away from Cesaro there, by the way, because he lifted his ass up. Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Question six. 4-1 to Nicholas. Question six. How many times did Cesaro swing Seth Rollins at WrestleMania? Was it 15? 19, 23, or 27?
Wow. Nicholas, I had 18 in my head, which doesn't help us in this. But I'll go for 19 as a result of that.
It's not 19. Phil, your options are 15, 23, or 27.
I'll go with the next one up, 23. Yeah.
It was 23 swings, nice. And then he did that. It was one of my favourite WrestleMania matches that year, I have to say. Yeah. You know, everyone was talking about, you know, obviously Bianca and Sasha and the triple threat and what have you. But I thought it's just such a, like, we haven't had crowds back. Let's just make the most basic babyface heel, just fun spinny spots, all that. I loved it. I've gone back and watched it. It's great stuff. Right.
And the fact that just let him win as well. The fact that let Cesaro win, which was just,
I can only enjoy it properly afterwards once I knew that was the case.
Yes.
Right. Four questions to go, and it's 4-2 to Nicholas. Question seven. Cesaro appeared in which movie? Pain and Gain, Spring Breakers, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, or The Wrestler?
Right. Well,
why not? Spring Breakers.
It's not Spring Breakers, which stars Jeff Jarrett, of course.
Oh, of course.
Right, oh, of course, yeah.
Easily confused.
Very a close resemblance there, Phil. What was the other ones?
Pain and Gain, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, or The Wrestler?
I I don't know. I literally don't know. But I'm trying to do the math. Yeah, Pain and Gain is the one with The Rock and Mark Wahlberg, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that right? So I could see why that might happen. And Cesaro might have just been in a gym somewhere lifting some stuff. What was the other ones?
The 40-year-old virgin and the rest.
Don't think he was in that, but then it's one of those where I bet like he could have been sneaking around. So I'm going to rule that out. I'm going to go with Pain and Gain, you know. I want to see the rest level. I'm going to go with Pain and Gain because I think I've... No, I'm not. I'm going to go... Oh, no, I can't change now. Pain and Gain. I've got to stick with the first one because if I change it the rest level, which it undoubtedly is going to be, and I get it wrong, it'll be a shame. Pain and Gain.
He was the wrestler.
Oh, come on.
After, as soon as I said my answer, I was like, oh, maybe it is the wrestler because didn't they use like a bunch of ROH guys?
Well, that's the thing, but I thought that might have been a mislead, you see.
Is it R-Truth in it? Is or have I forgotten?
There's a load of Ring of Honor guys on our talent at the time, I think they were.
Pain and Gain does star a bald wrestler, though. Kurt Angle. Oh, yes, and The Rock as well, yes. right, what's that? So that's still 4-2, three questions to go. Question 8. This is where it gets a little bit silly. I was like, oh, okay. Loads of boring wrestling questions. Let's get fun. Question 8. Cesaro hasn't tweeted since January, but when he did tweet last, what emoji did he tweet? Was it the fire emoji, the eggplant emoji, the eyes emoji, or the poop emoji?
Ooh, come Phil. On. Go Why on, not? Phil. Yeah,
eyes.
It's not the eyes emoji.
I don't want it to be anything else other than the eggplant emoji. So I've got to go for that, I'm afraid, whether it's what I want or not.
It's the fire emoji.
How boring.
It was Shane doing some mint on SmackDown that they shared, and then they went, cool. How about you lose to Sheamus and Ridge Holland and tag with Ricochet for no reason?
And that was enough for him to leave Twitter forever.
Okay, two questions to go, Phil. If you get these both right, everyone wins.
Go on, Phil.
Question 9. Cesaro did win a championship, the Up, Up, Down, Down championship, after beating Becky Lynch. But at what game was it? Mario Kart 8, Super Smash Bros, Rocket League, or Street Fighter?
Nicholas.
Phil.
Ooh. And Nicholas has it gotten there first.
Oh.
Rocket League.
It's not the brilliant Rocket League.
I was Michael Hamflet, by the way, Rocket League. There you go.
Hamflet got it, yeah.
I was going to go with Super Smash Brothers.
Wait.
It's not Super Smash Bros. It was Mario Kart 8.
It was definitely a racing one. I was going to like a car related one.
Final question. Question 10. My favorite question.
A 2-pointer, Phil. If you get this right, Phil, a 2-pointer.
What did the wrestler known as Cesaro in WWE, which been known as things elsewhere, what did he once wrestle as? Was it a Wookiee, an alien, an ice cream, or a man controlled by Uno cards?
Why do I feel like it's all of these things?
Well, I'm going to guess this is in Shikara.
Yes, maybe. Probably.
Maybe not.
I'm going to go with an ice cream.
He did wrestle as a lion.
I vaguely remembered an ice cream mask in a Shikara thing.
Let me find out. I'm just Googling it now because he was known as Very Mysterious Ice Cream in the tag team Los Ice Creams.
What was his partner called? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, they were called, hang on.
They're not Very Mysterious Ice Cream.
Less Mysterious Ice Cream.
Okay, so. Current members of Lost Ice Creams.
Current? Yeah.
Well, let me you'll wait till I get to former. So, current members, El Hijo del Ice Cream.
Of course.
Yeah.
Ice Cream Junior. Sorry, I just got distracted by signature moves. Ice Cream Sandwich, brackets. Both members hit a simultaneous avalanche splash on the recipient.
Right.
Former members, Very Mysterious Ice Cream. wrestler formerly known as Cesaro. Glacier and Curry Man.
Of course.
I like they don't even have ice cream aliases. They're just Curry Man. Curry Man. Yeah.
Curry Man as well.
Curry Man.
And
he's too hot for ice cream.
My personal favourite flavour of ice cream.
Curry. Oh, the team were briefly renamed when Curry Man joined in in 2010.
As the melted ice cream.
Two
hot and cold's good.
Team Delicioso.
wrestling.
I like the specifics on prowrestling.fandom.com. Lost Ice Creams debuted February 16th, 2007.
Come on.
February 16th, 2007, or earlier. I mean, yeah, everything could be or earlier.
Or earlier. Maybe it was later. We don't know.
Also, just a quick note as we wrap this up. Cesaro, then known as Very Mysterious Ice Cream, part of the Chikara tag team Los Ice Creams, helped in body slamming someone onto sprinkles.
I bet it wouldn't be fun, you know. Still.
Yeah. Very sprinkles. Mysterious ice cream. I've just seen a picture of him. It's really ruined my day, I've got to be honest.
Cesaro has had some wild looks over the years, man. Some wild, obviously not in WWE, but before WWE, man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
What do you want to do with that facial hair? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever.
So, as Adam Nicholas very kindly gave you double points, that means it's a draw. Everyone wins.
Friday, a big W for everyone on this Friday. What a wonderful day.
I've got it. So I'm just going to wrap up. Right. Let us know your thoughts on everything we discussed. Now you got on the quiz on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers. And you can follow Adam Nicholas at
It's Adam Nicholas. And you can follow Adam Wilborn at
Adam Wilborn. And that is why this is the best trio for wrestling culture right there. Subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Got the SmackDown preview, the Rampage preview available right now. And as I mentioned earlier on, our discussion about Tony Khan's big announcement is also available as a podcast right now too. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Phil Chambers, to a returning Adam Nicholas. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.